I'll just ask everyone to make their way back to their seats. We're going to continue. And as we're getting ready, if you have your Bibles with you, you can turn to the book of Nehemiah. And we're going to speak from there in a couple minutes' time. My name's Joe Crummy. I'm one of the leaders here at Christ Central Church, Fredericton. And for those of you who might be new, my primary role now is more and more helping with our church plants and helping with the churches that we're supporting and partnering with. And so next week I'll be in Charlottetown speaking with the church there. In 2 weeks' time I'll be in Wolfville, Nova Scotia serving the church there. So we're looking forward to that over the next couple of weeks. And it was great to be able to gather together at our church weekend last month and to be together with all of our different churches and to meet with one another. And we're still living in the good of that. So thanks again to everyone who helped with that. Well, I have a question for you this morning. So as you get to your seats, you can think about this question for a moment. And the question is this: how do you handle success? And some of you are saying, I've never had success to handle. You can use your imagination. We're going to dream big this morning. Okay, how do you handle success? How do you handle promotion? How do you handle achievement? So when the doors open in the areas of your life that might increase your status, your wealth, your position, your power, your influence, how do these things affect us? And that's a serious question this morning. As maybe opportunities open for you to, at least maybe in the world's eyes, to become more successful, how do we handle that when that comes along? Because in different phases and different stages, hopefully at some point those things will happen, and we'll give you some examples. Another question for you: even as a Christian, should we seek to be successful in whatever area of life that we're now living in? So whatever your vocation might be, whether you might be in school, in your sports teams and all that, are you even allowed to think about being successful and being able to achieve things and move forward, whether that's in business or politics, education, school, etc.? So here's my preamble, is this: as Christians, at least in this church, we don't believe in what some people label a health and wealth prosperity gospel, where we automatically are lavished with riches and luxury because God loves us. And so you're never sick, and you can name and claim whatever high-end car you want, and God will give it to you because He's kind of like your own personal genie. We do not believe in that. And Brent spoke last week from Proverbs and about the whole thing of having wisdom that comes from God and knowing that Jesus ultimately is our wisdom from heaven. And so you can listen to that online if you missed it last week. However, we also don't expect all of our education and preparation and hard work through school and employment to result in failure. I think it's okay to say that. That we actually want you, and as leaders in this church, our heart is we want you to succeed. We want you to grow. We want to see dividends of a payment for all of your hard work and education, and even some who graduated this week. Our hope is for you not to fail. We would love to see you grow and to be able to do well in all of your different vocations. So how do these things work together? And in the context of Fredericton and Atlantic Canada and Canada globally, we as a city have an opportunity to be a very prosperous city. And if you just drive around Fredericton, we are a rich city in comparison to the rest of the world. And that we're positioned to be a success and to do a lot of good. We have a great education system. We've got all kinds of opportunities, both through our local education system, through our university and colleges. We've got a well-trained workforce. We've got the military nearby. We've got healthcare and IT. We've got engineering, startup, and all kinds of entrepreneurial things taking place. And we are on the cusp, if not living in, the good of being a very prosperous city. So it leads to some questions. And as I said, there are many people in our church that we want to see grow and develop and succeed. So I can start and I can go through every person here if we had time, and I could share my heart for how we want to see you grow and succeed. So where's Will? Will in the military. We want Will to be promoted. We want him to grow in his sphere of influence and all of those things. We want that. We desire that. That's a good thing because we know our heart is we want that to be used for the glory of God. We can go through every single person. We want Totmar to grow and prosper and develop, to be a blessing to the city. We want all of our teachers in the education system to grow and develop, and we want to see them in different areas of more influence. And we can go through multicultural things. We can go through education. I'm going to pick on a few more, just because this is kind of fun when you start going about it, isn't it? We want electricians and people who are running their own businesses and everything to succeed and to be a blessing in this city. We want them to work with integrity. We want them to be righteous. We want them to be an example and a model. So wherever you are sitting right now, that includes you. Okay? So I'm trying to get a point that I want everyone paying attention, because not all of you are going to be CEOs of a company, and I don't want this message to go over your head and say, this doesn't involve me. This involves every single one of us. So don't discount yourself. And as Clinton said this morning, God wants you in the game. Not just in church life, he wants you in every aspect of your life. He wants you to understand he's got reasons for where you are right now, and he's got reasons for you to be even promoted and maybe even to achieve things with God's grace and your hard work, because there's a purpose behind it. Today we're going to turn to the book of Nehemiah, where I spoke from last month at our church weekend, and I'm going to go back to that. And just a quick background as we open up God's word, Nehemiah volunteered, if you remember the story, to leave the king's palace in Persia, to return to Jerusalem, which had been destroyed, but was his people group in his hometown, to help rebuild the walls and to help be part of restoring the city because it laid in ruins. And Nehemiah provides a model of leadership that we can learn all kinds of things from regarding his life. And at the church weekend, and you can listen online if you missed it, we learned about how he dealt with adversity, opposition, discouragement, and injustice. But we're going to flip things around today, because we can also learn from him in another way, and it also has to do with a test of character, and one that might be even more difficult with dealing than adversity and discouragement and disappointment and opposition. And this will test your character even more than all those things. Guess what it is? Success. Promotion. Prosperity, advancement, all kinds of different words we can use. And I'm going to settle on the word promotion. I was reading a great book by Chuck Swindoll called Hand Me Another Brick, and he used the word promotion, so I'm going to borrow it and cite him for it. That Nehemiah, we can learn from his life because he was promoted. And you know what? If you go through the Bible, and you go throughout history, and you go through our present day, there are very few examples of people who've been promoted and who have achieved things and advanced in all kinds of different ways, who have actually done well in keeping their eyes focused on God. There's probably more examples of people who have gone through setbacks and adversities staying with Jesus than there are people who have prospered and yet have stayed with Jesus. And Brent, in his message last week, gave the life of Solomon, who started well, but as he advanced and was promoted and gained wealth and knowledge and power and influence, he totally went off the rails as far as following God. And the Bible's full of that, our church history is full of that, our world history is full of that, and even today, every day, what comes up on our computer screen gives us examples of people who have not handled promotion and success very well. So let's read Nehemiah. So guys, if we can just have that up on the screen, we're going to turn to chapter 5, and we're going to pick up at verse 14. Now, just a little thing here to say, in a couple weeks' time, Rick and Brahman are going to be speaking. They're going to come back, and we'll look at maybe some more things from earlier in chapter 5 that has to do with injustice and working with the poor and everything. I'm jumping ahead, because I don't want to take some things from them. So you got to give me some grace that we're jumping in halfway through a chapter. And we're dealing with the back end of it. So we'll pick it up, and Nehemiah says this. Moreover, from the 20th year of King Artaxerxes, when I was appointed to be their governor in the land of Judah, until his 32nd year, 12 years, neither I nor my brothers ate the food allotted to the governor. But the earlier governors, those preceding me, placed a heavy burden on the people and took 40 shekels of silver from them in addition to food and wine. Their assistants also lorded it over the people. But out of reverence for God, I did not act like that. Instead, I devoted myself to the work on this wall. All my men were assembled there for the work. We did not acquire any land. Furthermore, 150 Jews and officials ate at my table, as well as those who came to us from the surrounding nations. Each day, one ox, six choice sheep, and some poultry were prepared for me. And every 10 days, an abundant supply of wine of all kinds. In spite of all this, I never demanded the food allotted to the governor, because the demands were heavy on these people. Remember me with favor, my God, for all I have done for these people. Verse 14, Nehemiah was appointed governor in the land of Judah, which was for him a promotion. And this was the highest position in his land. And Nehemiah accepted the responsibility that came with this promotion and this new role, including being a public figure, a target of criticism, a leader with authority, which provided many friends and many enemies. And Nehemiah was immediately faced with three sort of areas of concern that confront anyone who accepts a promotion or who experiences what we would call success. And I'm going to make sure you're included. You might be in middle school and you're named captain of the sports team. You have been promoted, and what I'm going to share applies to you. You might become an assistant manager in your department. This affects you. You might be the CEO of a company. This applies to you. Different context, different stories, but folks, they deal with the same heart issues. So this affects every single one of us. All these things apply to you and me. And here's my tagline. Promotion is not just about you, it's about serving others. If you get anything from this message, that's it. Promotion, we can use lots of words, success, achievement, advancement, but promotion, it's not just about you, it's about serving others. We're going to dive into this. First thing we're going to take a look at is this. Promotion brings privileges. So if you're taking notes, that's one of your headlines. Promotions bring privileges. With every promotion, every advancement, with every level of success, there are privileges. There are new or expanded rights, benefits, perks, and opportunities. And the key is this. It's to use them wisely and not abuse them. Because a lot of times, they're rightfully given. So we can use them, but the key is not to abuse them. Nehemiah states that for 12 years, not once did he take advantage of the food privileges that were his to enjoy. So he wasn't even stealing anything. These rights were given to him, but he didn't take advantage of them. So you got to remember, in their day, there wasn't much food around. As governor, he had a food allowance for official entertaining, but he didn't take liberty with his expense account. Nehemiah had privileges at his fingertips, but he never hoarded, and he never kept everything to himself. Instead, he used these privileges to help others. Now, folks, if we can give some examples from today, there are lots of people who, with their jobs and with their roles, have growing privileges with promotion. And there's various types of expense accounts, food and entertainment, recreation, travel budgets, bonuses, memberships, and so on. And the more people I talk to and some of the worlds they live in, the more I realize, wow, promotion has privileges. Stuff I would never even dream. I didn't even know some of the things even existed. But they're there. And what a temptation comes to abuse those privileges. Because the ironic thing is this. As people are given more privileges, a lot of times people do this. They lie and they cheat and they steal because you know what? Our heart desires, we always want a little bit more. So we go from having nothing to maybe we've got an expense account, maybe we've got a credit card. And we go like, wow, I've got like actual some money to spend. Guess what we do? We just want a little bit more. So I went from nothing and now I've got $500 for the whole year that I can spend. Just imagine if I had $1,000. That's how our heart works. We get $1,000. Just if I had $2,000. Doesn't matter if it's $20, we want $30. And our heart desires more. And the temptation is always there to either abuse that or misuse that, to cover things up. Or we cover up for other people because we want them to cover up for us. Folks, so much so, in our society, in the last few years, guess what we've had to do? We've had to invent policies to protect whistleblowers who have the courage to uncover a lot of the corruption that's going on in our society, in business and politics, in the church. Do you know we have a whistleblower policy within our church as part of our 55 policies that we have to help protect us and to help protect every one of us? That we're protected if we speak up against any corruption going on in church life. So with success and advancement and promotion come responsibilities, but come new opportunities to be tempted to exploit or abuse privileges relating to them. So here's a few examples. I've already talked about one. Money is probably the biggest one. And the Bible says that money is the root of all kinds of evil. So whether it's stealing or misappropriating funds, money is a big pull on us. Relationships. So with promotion come privileges, and a lot of times those relationships can be abused. We can treat others as inferior. We can bully people. And as we have found out most recently, there's all kinds of sexual abuse and different things that go on through relationship because people feel they have privileges with success and with promotion. There's trust. People lie and their secrets. Integrity is tested, of fairness, impartiality, favoritism, just to name a few. So we have to be careful when we think, man, if I was just successful, life would be great. With promotion comes great responsibility and even more temptations to abuse that privilege. Now here's the thing. As Nehemiah shows us, as a people of God with a perspective that God is the one who ultimately opens doors for promotion and advancement. Did you hear that? You can work hard, all of those different things, but ultimately God's the one who opens and closes doors for us. We believe in the sovereignty of God, that God is the one who opens and closes doors. So with promotion, yes, you can pat yourself on the back and you can feel like, hey, this is a good feeling, that, but ultimately God's the one who's got you there. And we can be like Nehemiah, who used his justified privileges for good by using them to help others in need. So folks, in all of this, we got to keep a God perspective. We have to keep an eternal perspective. You can go back to all of our messages on money and giving and generosity, and we need to listen to those over and over and over again. I'm sure it will come up in Proverbs as we go through it this summer. We need to hold loosely to the things of this world because we have an eternity to think about. And we want to see the things that God's given us, and we want to be good stewards of the things God's given us to be a blessing and to help serve others. So promotion is not just about me or you. It's about serving others. And promotion brings privileges, and we have to, with God's help, correctly handle those privileges. Second thing, promotion brings power. Might be the same thing as privilege, but I'll do a buddy trail on power as well. Promotion and advancement brings privileges, as we've said. And as an extension of this, there is an increase in power, and I'll give you some other words, authority, influence, control, decision-making. Promotion brings more power. And Nehemiah, we read, was a powerful, influential person who was very well connected. So let's just review Nehemiah. Nehemiah had a key inside relationship with the mighty king of Persia. If you remember all the way back, he was in the king's palace. He was on a first-name basis, like face-to-face relationship with the king, the mighty king of that time. Nehemiah was very influential with society. His leadership affected the masses. Nehemiah had 150 leaders and officials who ate with him every day, influencing other leaders. Plus, he had officials coming from the surrounding nations. Nehemiah was a powerful person. And we read this, that the former governors had abused their privileges and powers. So there's a contrast between Nehemiah and those before him. Here are some of the ways those who were previous to him in power had abused that power. One, they had overtaxed the people, verse 15. But the earlier governors, those preceding me, placed a heavy burden on the people via high taxes, and they abused their position of power via, once again, money. They overtaxed the people. Secondly, they stole people's possessions and money. Not only did they take their money, they took their food and their wine. So, it's very common all throughout history and in our world today, we would say this, the rich get richer and the poor get poorer. There's nothing new under the sun. This was happening way back, Old Testament times, New Testament, in the last 2,000 years today, right here in Fredericton. Three, the former governors promoted their servants and their assistants. So there's a whole thing of there, it's really who you know. It's who you know. Fourth, the former leaders lorded their power over the people. So not only were their actions, but this one's even almost worse. It's the attitude behind it. They had an attitude of superiority and domineering leadership. We would say today there was a corrupt government leadership. Now, as I mentioned, Rick and Brahma Mooney are going to share in a couple weeks, and they're with International Justice Mission. And earlier on in chapter 5, it's all about the injustice that was going on through slavery. And this was amongst the Jews, this was amongst their own people, about slavery and about people not being fed and people being abused, all of those different things. And they're going to share more about that. But can I just say this? One of the antidotes to those things are those people who have power correctly using that power, not to lord it over, but to help serve the people and to bring justice and fairness and to bring safety and security so that those things that we read earlier in chapter 5 don't happen. Do you understand? If you're promoted to a position of power and a role of power comes great responsibility. And there's going to be even more temptation to lord it over other people and to use these things for your own gain, for your own glory. And Nehemiah would have been tempted to follow the same illegal, unfair, corrupt policies and practices. Because here's the excuses we hear. Change is difficult. This is the way it's always been done. We don't want to rock the boat. You can't change the system. Those are the things that get heard over and over again. So people don't do anything. And to cloak Clinton again, just in a different context, people stay out of the game. I don't even want to get involved because I know there's things that are going on, but I just don't want to get involved. I don't want to stick my nose in there. We'll just let things go on. Because it takes great courage to be able to step in and say, we're not doing these things anymore. And folks, there's a great temptation in a different way when you've been given power. And this was a great temptation. And this, if you remember, this is what Nehemiah was accused of doing, but he didn't. But on the other hand, there's a temptation to use your power to turn on those who have power over you. And so Nehemiah would have faced temptation to rebel against the king of Persia, to create his own little kingdom, to look at all the people who were following him. But Nehemiah and his government responded totally different because they had a desire to honor God. Verse 15, verse B, Nehemiah says this, but out of reverence for God, I did not act like that. Instead, I devoted myself to the work on this wall. All my men were assembled there for the work. We did not acquire any land. So you got to remember, Nehemiah was in a position of being rich. Everyone else was poor. He could have just swallowed up and bought up all the land to himself. And then people would have had to pay taxes to him. And he would have solidified his position as their leader. And Nehemiah is clear. Out of reverence for God, do you see where it comes back to our relationship with God? Out of reverence for God, I did not do this. Instead, not only did he not do those things, I devoted myself to the things God had called me to do. We were about building the wall. And as we heard on the church weekend, we're about building the church of Jesus Christ and extending his kingdom through our lives everywhere we go. Because there would have been a temptation even to be lazy in given that responsibility. But Nehemiah remained God-focused. Out of reverence for God, I devoted myself. What a contrast Nehemiah provides. They stayed on task and they kept building. They worked hard versus being lazy. They were responsible and they were godly with authority and not rebellious. They did not abuse their power, their authority, their influence by taking advantage of others in need. As I said, they didn't buy any land. They were serving, not lording. Their attitude and action was God-fearing. Now, if you know anything at all about the New Testament, who does this remind you of? We were just singing about him this morning. This reminds me of Jesus. Because Jesus was the Lion of Judah. He was King of Kings, Lord of Lords. If anyone had a position and a role of power, it was Jesus, Creator of the world. And yet, Jesus said, I've come not to lord it over others. I've not come for people to serve me. I've come to be a servant. Mark talked about that a few weeks ago. I've come actually to lay down my life, to be the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. That Jesus came and he didn't use his position and his role of power for his own selfish gain. He used it in order to serve others. So Nehemiah points to even a greater example, Jesus Christ, who is our ultimate example, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, yet became the suffering servant, that he went to the cross to pay the ultimate price with his life for all of our injustice and our sin and our wrongdoings and the wrongs done to us. Nehemiah points to Jesus. And Jesus taught his disciples, same thing, hundreds of years later. When God, because you know what? The disciples were kind of like promoted. Jesus gave them power to go and do the stuff Jesus was doing and kind of went to their heads. And Jesus saying, don't be like the Gentiles who use their authority to lord it over the people. We've come and we've been given these things in order to serve and to be a blessing to others. Promotion, it's not just about you, not just about me. Promotion is about serving others. And promotion brings privileges, promotion brings power, and with those come great temptations. The third thing, we'll just close with this. Promotion affects people. Now, I know that's kind of obvious, and that probably has been very clear in the first two, but I just want to state it again. Promotion and success and achievement and advancement affects people. It's not in isolation. So whatever role you might be that might be expanded, it always affects people. Because it's going to affect people around you who are closest to you. It's going to impact your family first and foremost. Maybe your spouse, your children, your parents, your sibling. It's going to affect your coworkers. It's going to affect your employees. It's going to affect your employer. It's going to affect your fellow students, your fellow athletes, your fellow teammates. It's going to affect possibly society, different spheres of society through government, business, administration. We can go through all those different things. And as you receive more responsibility, more status, influence, authority, whether on your school, team, work, your clubs, church, whatever, you are a leader, and leaders affect people. You might be able to think even right now, even in your sphere of life, you are affecting people every day. In your family, in your workplace, in your school, in your sports, whatever area of society you're in. Verse 18, Nehemiah says this, I never demanded the food allotted to the governor because the demands were heavy on these people. And with these words, Nehemiah reveals a healthy attitude and a balance between this. Getting a job done, because there was a job to do. The walls needed to be built. The city needed to be restored. The project needed to be completed. There were good things to be accomplished. And, so that's one, keeping a reasonable pace that doesn't burn people out or abuse people or mistreat people just to get the job done. So Nehemiah had this great tension. There's a job to be done, but yet people were affected by how they got that job done. And Nehemiah is a great example of twinning those two things together, that a job got done without mistreating the people. Now, I've used this example before, but honestly, I can't think of a better one. I was trying to think of a modern day example of someone who's been promoted, who has increased privileges, increased power and influence, and who affects a lot of people. So I'm going to use them again because it comes back to me and it impacts me every time. I reread it again this week. A modern day example of someone who has been advanced by God with privileges, power, and people for God's glory. And I'm going to pick on him again, but it's a guy, his name is Rick Warren, who some of you probably have heard of somewhere along the way. And if not, there's lots of stuff online about him. But Rick Warren founded Saddleback Church in California many years ago, and it grew to be one of the largest churches in the United States with like tens of thousands of people. And he wrote a book called The Purpose-Driven Church, which in church circles in the last 25, 30 years has been huge. And probably he's most famous for this. He wrote a book called The Purpose-Driven Life, which in the U.S. alone has sold over 30 million copies, back when that people actually bought hard copy books, which is one of the all-time leading bestsellers of nonfiction in the United States, let alone all the stuff online. And with that book alone, overnight, Rick Warren went from being just a pastor, ordinary guy, father, husband, to being a multi-millionaire, because you don't sell 30 million books without getting some profit from that. That was never his intent, to become a millionaire, but overnight, he became a millionaire. And Rick Warren went from just being a regular guy, but God used him and blessed him. He was obedient to God, and the question was going to be asked, how did Rick Warren handle success, fame, finances, power, privileges? Well, this is what Rick Warren did in keeping a God perspective. The first thing he did, he had been working for Saddleback for 25 years. He repaid all of his salary for every year. So he repaid his 25 years to the church. And then he and his wife, Kay, who he'd been with since 1975, with no major scandals or no minor scandals, and a good dad, and who'd gone through a lot of different things, he and his wife, Kay, decided this. They were going to do what they called the principle of the reverse tithe. So instead of giving 10% to the church, they were going to live off 10% and give away 90% of their earnings. Oh, and by the way, he stopped getting a salary from the church. He just worked for free. They gave away 90% of what they had, and then subsequently, they've lived off 10% of what they've received. So he's gone from a millionaire down to not being a millionaire, driving his beat-up old pickup truck and giving away 90% of what comes in. So that was the money part. How about power and people? Well, they've continued to plant hundreds of churches. You might have heard of Celebrate Recovery. Well, that came out of Saddleback, and he was a big one with that, helping people with addictions. They came up with what was called the Peace Plan to help people with mental illness. They've got a global initiative to help the poor. They are leading the way in the HIV/AIDS ministry around the world. He's still married to Kay. He's now a grandfather, and the list goes on and on and on. It's quite a story, isn't it? a modern-day example of someone blessed by God, used by God. So God's used him to help talk to presidents and all leaders all around the world. But if you see Rick Warren interviewed and if you hear him, he's the most humble guy going. He's just a guy used by God. Promoted, great privilege, power, influence. But he resisted the temptations to use those things for selfish gain. And he realized God's used these things not for my benefit, but in order to be a blessing and to help serve others. Promotion is not just about you or me, but it's about how can I serve others. Are you getting that drilled in? Here and here? Nehemiah handled promotion with a godly attitude and a servant heart, and he had an action plan because he did something. He accepted the responsibility of this expanded role. He was accountable to God first and foremost. And Nehemiah did not give in to the temptations. And these are always the temptations of pride and greed. That's to summarize wanting $20 more than the 20 we have. Pride, look at me! And greed, I want more. Nehemiah didn't give in to those temptations. Nehemiah did not misuse or abuse the privileges and power, but he used these opportunities to help serve the people. In closing, this reminds us of Jesus. He had privileges and power as the Son of God, yet he was obedient to God. He came to serve and to give his life up on the cross in order to obey and fulfill God's purposes and plans. Now here's the thing. This is not a motivational talk to make you go, I'm going to try harder. This is a talk that makes you realize I can't do this on my own, that I need an inner power. I need something, and that something is called the Holy Spirit. That when we come to Jesus and we give our lives to Jesus, Jesus gives us the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is the helper. He's the counselor, the comforter, the advocate. He's the one who comes alongside, and he empowers us to live a life that pleases Jesus. So we're not putting rules on you today saying you need to follow these. The Holy Spirit comes and lives in you. That his voice is the one who says, you know what? You don't really need this. You know what? God's put you in this role in order to serve others. And in closing, I have one question for you to think about. You might want to respond in the next 5 minutes. You might need to take some time this week. My one question to you is this. I'm trying to make it very, very applicable. Is that as you think about your life, and I'm going to say this again, every one of you is counted in this. So you can't disqualify yourself. You can't say, I've got no influence, or I've got no... If you're around people, you're in. The question is this. Think about your life right now, where God's brought you. How maybe God's given you promotion or advancement. And this might be an answer that comes through finances or time or service or your influence. But it's simply this. This week, how can you use the role that you're in to positively help serve one person this week? Now, I hope you can do a lot more, but this is the starting point. And God might give you something even the next 5 minutes that you want to respond to. But here's your homework. Out of this message today, God's placed me and put me in certain situations with privileges, power to influence people. How can I this week positively help serve one person with the role that I'm in? You got that? That's your homework. God help me, show me, how can I use the role that I'm in this week to positively serve one other person? Now, hopefully, that spins off into maybe all kinds of different things. Don't limit it to one if you get more ideas, okay? But just think of one. I'm going to pray right now. I'm going to ask for God's help in this. And then we'll transition the worship team, and the guys will help give us some direction as where do we go from here. But Father in heaven, I want to thank you this morning for every person that's here today. Lord, I say it again, it's not by accident that you're here this morning. And God, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for people like Nehemiah that are examples, Lord, of how to deal with adversity and all that, but also how to deal with blessing and favor and prosperity and success and promotion. And God, I pray this morning for every person here. Lord, I pray that Holy Spirit, you would come and that you would bring some ideas, some perspective, revelation this week of how you've placed us in people's lives. Lord, I pray this week that we would each use our role and our position to be a servant and to help serve and to help somebody this week, Lord. For your glory, for their good, for your honor, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, thanks, Joel.